Well, good morning. We are in a series on winning spiritual battles. This is message number 4 in this series. And I am, as you know, been excited for a long time to preach this because we are in spiritual battles all the time. And little ones that are competing for our thoughts, big ones that are trying to keep us from the right job, the right destiny, from breakthroughs, all kinds of different ways that we are in spiritual battles, but the Lord has made us more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But as we've said, we don't come out of the spiritual womb just knowing how to fight spiritual battles and win. We have to learn. We have to learn how to, you know, swing that sword of the Spirit and hold up that shield of faith. And you learn by hearing teaching. You learn by having a Christian family around you that are helping you and teaching you right, by getting into the Word of God. And so my dream for you is that you would come away from this 5-part series more equipped to win spiritual battles quicker, that you would have more victories, less defeats, more time in joy, less time in depression. Does that sound good? That is God's will for you, guaranteed. That you would have less resistance when you're moving, trying to move forward and stuff, that you would feel the flow of God's Spirit on you. And so I am hoping that you're getting something out of this. You never had to listen to me 5 weeks in a row yet. This is the first time. All right, so today I'm going to talk about knowing the secrets of God and how this relates to winning spiritual battles. There is really no substitute for hearing and seeing. I'm talking about hearing and seeing spiritually. There is no substitute for this. When you came to know Christ, when you came into Christ out of darkness, you turned away from your sin, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, you were given new eyes. You were given new ears. And then you all of a sudden had the ability, now we grow in this, but immediately when you're born again, you have an ability to see things from a different perspective and to hear the voice of the Lord. And actually it says, remember in John 10, I believe it is, that my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow any other. As soon as you were born again, as soon as you came into Christ, you became a sheep. Jesus, one of Jesus' sheep. You're not a bad sheep. You're a good sheep, right? And you, I know, it's terrible. And you can know the voice of the Lord, though. You know the voice of the Holy Spirit the moment you're born again. And you also grow in knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's both, right? But you wouldn't have been able to come to Christ if you had not been able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin. So it's proof you were created to hear God's voice, and you can hear God's voice. And some of you need to break off a lie, well, I'm just not one of those people that can hear God. Now, you may not have open visions every day. I was just talking to someone this week who hears God audibly on a regular basis. That's incredible. Like, I've only heard God audibly, like, maybe a couple times. That doesn't mean you can't hear. I mean, everyone hears a little differently, but you, when you were born again, God gave you the ability to hear his voice. And hearing and seeing is one of the most valuable things, one of the most valuable tools that you have in winning spiritual victories. Oh my goodness. There are spiritual realities that we cannot always see or easily discern with our natural mind and our natural eyes. And in these moments, we need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding into what we cannot see with our natural eyes. And most of the time, when you are in a situation that does not make sense in the natural, it's because it's supernatural. And you need your supernatural eyes given to you by God, of which you walk in by faith, to see what is going on in the world is happening right now. This is my observation. I have experienced firsthand times when I have prayed 20 hours for something and nothing has happened. And I said, God, what is going on? And he would give me one dream, letting me see one thing in the spirit. I pray that, and breakthrough happens in a moment. There is something powerful about prophetic prayer. All prayer is powerful. All prayer matters. But prophetic prayer, and all I mean by prophetic prayer is hearing and seeing. It can be an impression. It can be a picture in your mind. It can be a dream. It can be a vision. It can be a scripture that comes alive. And you're like, this is for now. And you pray it. It breaks the mountains in pieces. It's so powerful. I had this is just everyday life. Had a friend over for coffee. Really mature spiritual leader. Very mature. Anyway, and she began to just pour out her heart about how she was dealing with depression. And she's feeling so defeated because depression was something that she dealt with a long time ago. But she had really grown in her spiritual walk, was able to rise above that, was living in victory for like years. And all of a sudden, now she is in depression again. and when you're in it, it feels like you've been in it forever, which I, you know, it feels like I've been under this heaviness forever. It may only be a week or something. And she was so discouraged. And of course, she's mature. She's been praying. She's been, I take authority over, you know, any demonic attack. I'm sure she'd done that, you know, done the basics. And I said, let's pray right now. I mean, she just crossed the table. I said, let's just pray. And when we pray, we said, Lord, show us what's happening. And when I ask the Lord, show me what's happening, whatever comes to me, I go with by faith. I mean, if it lines up with the word of God. Whatever comes to me in that moment, I go with by faith. And so this was not an open vision. I wish every time I heard from the Lord, it was an open vision. But we said, Lord, what is happening? How do you want us to pray? But immediately what I saw is a picture in my mind of a monkey sitting on her shoulder, mocking her. Mocking her, mocking her. You really think you're so strong? You really think you're a victory? You really think that you defeated this thing? You really think, no, 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 you're nothing. And I saw this monkey, just, you know, how they do that, really annoying. See, now these things are videotaped, and they go out to the nations, and everybody, like, sees my weird stuff. Monkey impressions. You want me to do it again? Okay. Anyway, it was like mocking her. And I said, I just see this monkey on your shoulder mocking you. And I just feel like it's a spirit like mocking your victory. And immediately when I said it, Holy Spirit, I mean, just settled so strong. She almost fell out of the chair. And we just began to pray and tell it to leave in Jesus' name and began to release the things of the Lord over and victory over her. And it was like, I can feel God's presence right now. It was maybe 10 minutes total. And a week later, she said, I cannot believe how deep the victory was. Autumn, I can't believe, it was like, it's amazing. I mean, I feel like I've always been in victory, like I was before I ever was underneath that thing. The difference was she was already praying. She was already doing the right stuff. It was the Lord releasing that secret thing that brought instant victory that was so deep. The victory was so deep. There's no substitute for hearing and seeing. When you're up against spiritual battles, there's no substitute for it. God's secrets bring breakthrough, and God's perspective shatters mountains. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Lord gave me this scripture in a really, really important time in my life, and it was really valuable, and actually has marked my life ever since. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to share this scripture with you, and then I'm going to share a story. I think you have these in your notes. All right. In verse 6, it says, Paul is talking about how we have a wisdom, not like the world's wisdom, but we have a supernatural wisdom that comes from God, okay? So it says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, most versions say God's secret wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So God has a wisdom. He has a secret wisdom, a mystery that is hidden, but it's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. Do you see that? It's a mystery that's been hidden that God destined for who? For our glory before time began. So God's secrets, the things, the perspectives of the Lord, he sees everything so perfectly. Never is the Lord confused about what's happening on the earth. Like, we get confused. Whoa, this was a wild election, right? I mean, that was a crazy election, and crazy things were happening in our nation, and we can get confused and caught up in it, and we don't know what news to believe, and we don't whatever. But God, he knows everything. He sees it perfectly. And all the wisdom that he has, it's hidden from the world. But it's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. It's for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. See, there is a wisdom that no eye has seen, no natural eye. There is a wisdom that no natural ear, like even the smartest geniuses, the Einsteins of the earth, cannot conceive or hear this wisdom that God has. There is a wisdom that the most genius person cannot wrap their mind around in the natural. It is spiritual. And these things that are hidden from those that are outside of Christ are meant and revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to the next verse. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Okay, I assume everyone here knows how to use the internet, right? The Holy Spirit is like this giant Google search engine. I mean, do you know how big the internet is, right? All the information that's out there in the internet. And you're like, right now, I need a recipe for this. I need a recipe for, you know, roast chicken. So you go roast chicken, and somehow Google reaches in to the whole abyss of the internet and pulls out best roast chicken recipe down in front of you, right? This is like what the Holy Spirit does for us. We're like, we need to know right now why. Can I not get out of this sin habit? Why am I in this cycle of darkness over and over again? I'll climb out of it, then I'll fall again. I'll climb out. Why, Lord, why? And we cry out to God and we say, why? What do I need to do, Lord? What do I need to do? And the Holy Spirit's, whoa, they're asking for some secrets. Now the Holy Spirit reaches into the heart of the Father and he searches for that great wisdom that belongs to you. And he grabs a hold of the one piece that you need, brings it out, and puts it in front of you, like a roast chicken recipe. Right here. This is what you need. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for their own spirit within them? In other words, you're the only person that knows your thoughts, right? You can be saying something on the outside, thinking something different up here. We've all done it. I'm going to say what's right now, but I'm not thinking it. So only you know your own thoughts. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the Holy Spirit. And what we've received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. In other words, only you know your thoughts. Only the Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts, and the Holy Spirit wants to give you God's thoughts. You can't get them without the Holy Spirit. But if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. It ends with, we have the mind of Christ. That's amazing. We have the mind. And we're learning the mind of Christ all at the same time. I'm going to tell you a story. Having the secret thing makes all the difference in the world for winning spiritual battles. Okay, a number of years ago, Jeff, when do you think? Maybe like 7 years ago? Maybe 7 years ago even, 8 years ago. Something like that. We've been 13 years. Woo, long time, huh? So maybe 7, 8 years ago, there was a 7-year drought over the Midland, South Dakota area. Now, Midland, South Dakota does not mean a lot to a lot of you, but it's my hometown. About 150 people live there. My dad grew up there. My grandfather lived there. We have a family farm there. Very invested in this community, in this county. And there was a 7-year drought that was over this region. If you went 60 miles to the east, there was no drought in Pierce, South Dakota. If you went 60 miles to the west, there was no drought in Wall, South Dakota. But in this region, very small region where we live, there was a drought that lasted 7 years. For 7 years, I watched my dad plant seed into the ground and it sit there with no rain until it died. And then he would plant again in faith, believing that I'm going to plant again. The rain is going to come, and then we're going to have a harvest. Sometimes he planted 3 times into the same field with no rain. It's literally like putting your money in the, like $100 bills into the ground, $100 bills into the ground for nothing. It was so desperate. All of the fishing dams that I grew up fishing on as a kid were bone dry. You could walk across them. Every fish in the county was dead. There was not a fish alive. The cattle ranchers could not get hay. It was a very important part of they can't afford to buy all their hay, so they would hay, 2-3 cuttings if they could. And most of the time, they couldn't even get one cutting hardly. The grass would get like this tall, maybe one short cutting. And so literally, they were having to haul water because all the stock dams were empty. So the ranchers were having to haul water, and they were having to buy hay from outside of the county. And they were having to start selling off their head of cattle, because they could not afford to keep them. During this time, we fervently prayed that God would break this drought. And there were years we didn't know for sure if our family farm was going to make it. I remember some people from the little country church I grew up in would send messages to me, please pray that the rains would come. Please pray that the rains would come, that we would not have to sell any more cattle. I mean, some of these people had been there for even 3 and 4 generations. They had a lot at stake. Well, during this time, we had prayed, and we had prayed, and we had prayed 7 years. Every believer in that county guaranteed had been praying for rain, right? Well, one time in the summer, we went to Midland, and we were there visiting my family, and I felt like the Lord told me to go visit the new pastors of this little open Bible church that's in Midland. And I didn't know the pastors. I mean, like, you know what? It's just kind of uncomfortable to go visit someone that you don't know, that's a total stranger, even if they're really sweet. And so I was kind of like, oh, I mean, I knew, I really felt strongly, we're supposed to go and encourage these pastors. And I had like a message that I was supposed to, just like an encouraging word to share with them. Anyway, so I asked Jeff to go, and he's like, I don't even know. I'm like, you just be hero support. Come sit beside me on the couch, okay? Just, you don't have to say anything. I just really don't want to do this alone. And he's awesome. So, you know, we went, and We went, and they had coffee and cookies, and we prayed together. And when we prayed, it was interesting, like, ended up being there for 1 hour, 2 hours, and had this amazing prayer time for Midland. Totally unexpected. Like, I thought this was going to be, like, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And during this time, we prayed, and we asked the Lord specifically. We said, God, give us the secret for Midland, South Dakota. Give us a secret thing. What is it going to take to bring revival to the little village here? What's it going to take, Lord, to break this drought, God? What is it going to take, Lord? This is important. And we together, the four of us, prayed and said, God, give us your secrets. And it was during this time the Lord was first showing me 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I mean, I'd read it before, but he was first showing it to me. And it was like he was saying to me over and over again, I've got things to say. I've got opinions. I've got solutions where you've got problems. I've got some answers. And I was like, okay, Lord. And so we began to pray. Well, that night, I went home afterwards, and my parents, I did not tell my parents anything. Like, they were like, oh, did you have a nice time? Like, yep, I had a nice time. I'm going to go to bed. I didn't tell them we prayed. I didn't tell them we were asking God for the secrets. Nothing, nothing. Just went to sleep. In the morning, and I'm in the kitchen. My dad comes into the kitchen to make breakfast. He goes, whoa, did I have four of the wildest dreams last night? Immediately, I do not always do this, but immediately in my spirit leaped. And I was like, oh, I knew God had given him the answer to my prayer the night before. And I said, tell me the dreams that I'm going to interpret them right now. And so he began to tell me the dreams. Four dreams, all about Midland. The only problem was I had no idea what they were saying. I had no idea. I mean, I knew they were from the Holy Spirit. I knew they were our answer. They were God's secret for this problem. And they were speaking to a couple different things about our town. But I didn't understand how to interpret them. And so I took his dreams. He doesn't remember his dreams, but I wrote them down. I journaled them. I prayed over them. I diagrammed them. I tried to figure them out every way I knew how with every skill I had to interpret a dream. I mean, I'm praying too. I'm not just trying to do it in my flesh. And I was like, I could not understand what this was saying. And so I told the Lord, I said, I know you've given me the secret thing. I don't know why you're not unveiling it to me, but I know it's here. And so I committed to the Lord, I will go back to Midland once a month, and I will pray in that town and fast until you give me the answer. And so kids were little. I haul them in the car, 180 miles one way, go see my parents. My parents were loving it. They were thinking, wow, she's coming to visit a lot. I'd go get the key to the church I grew up in, go inside the sanctuary by myself, sit there and pray. Month one, month two. Month two, I'm so discouraged. I'm not shelving this. I am actively pursuing God in what he has to say about this. And month two, I am sitting in this little church all by myself. And I said, Lord, do you have anything to say about Midland? He goes, yeah, I already said it, those dreams. Do you have anything to say that I could understand about Midland? Because I don't understand that. Anyway, month three, I wasn't going to tell this part of the story, but that's okay. Well, month three, I'm in that little church all by myself, and I'm praying again, God, give me the secret things. I feel very distinctly that the Lord tells me, go up to the front of the church, lay down, and receive from me. I was like, no one's there, but I felt a presence of an angel. So I went, I laid down in the front of the church, and I felt like it was as if a wind blew on my mind. And instantly, I had clarity and understood all four dreams. Like that. It was completely supernatural. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. One of the dreams involved a snake that was bound by four ropes. Now, how many people prayed the night before that dream? Four people. The snake was bound by four ropes, and it had the head of a grasshopper put, like a plastic head of a grasshopper, over its head. Now, a grasshopper is completely symbolic for pestilence, for plague, for disaster, for drought. We even see them show up during times of drought. And this snake, which is a total demon, was bound by four ropes. It had the head of a grasshopper. It was lunging to get off. And my dad, who often represents Father God in dreams, he was standing there. He goes, it's bound, but it's not dead. We better get the gun. So I tell you what, we called a McKinley family prayer meeting, and we got out the gun. It's called the Word of the Lord. And we said, now, this is what the secret thing was for Midland. There is a demon enforcing a drought. I did not think that was possible. This little brain had never even conceived the idea that a demon would be enforcing a drought over a region. Do you know there's a lot of things in the natural about droughts? Like the longer the earth in a certain place does not receive rain, it actually, scientifically, it repels moisture. That's why deserts stay deserts. But oceans and coastal areas always have lots of rain. Water attracts water. Dryness repels water. That's just This is just science. So there's all different kinds of reasons in the natural why a drought might continue. But I can tell you this, year after year, my dad would be on the phone with me saying, I'm watching the weather systems on on his big computer screen. He goes, there's no way this one's not going to hit us. This storm, we're getting it. And literally it would come, break up, go around the area, come back together, and move on. So the Lord was telling us in this dream, this is a demon trying to ruin the economy of this region. It's now bound because you prayed. Now you need to deal with it and finish it off. So we called a family prayer meeting, and we took authority over it and said, this by the blood of Jesus, we break this thing. This drought is broken. Well, that was in May when this prayer meeting happened. And we had a super late, huge blizzard that sent so much moisture, and it was broken right then. From that point on, it rained, and the rains came in season. Now, even after that, though, everyone said it's going to take years to fill up the stock dams. West River is a lot more arid than East River anyway. Now, they said it'll take years to fill them up. That next winter, we had normal rains through the summer. The drought was completely broken. And the next winter, we had unusual snowfall and runoff. Every stock dam was filled. Every stock dam was filled within a year, and then they started stocking them again. The secret things of the Lord make all the difference in winning spiritual battles. And when you aren't getting a victory, and when you're not why are we not seeing this breakthrough? Your question you should be asking is, God, what do I need to see? What do I need to hear? How do you want me to pray? I mean, I understand the direction. We need breakthrough. But Lord, what is there something I need to bind? Is there something I need to loose? Is there something I need to declare? What am I not seeing that you see? And let me tell you, when you were born again, you were delivered from the rat maze. You know the rat maze? In the science lab, there's this maze. Cheese is at the end. And the rat just, all it wants is the cheese. Let me find the cheese. Nope, not that way. Not that way. And it's going back and forth, trying to find the cheese, trying to find the way out of the maze. But when you were born again, you were delivered from the rat maze. You were taken up in heavenly places, seated with Jesus Christ, where now you have the ability to see your way out of things. You have your ability to have victory. You are no longer a victim of this world. You are not trapped by your circumstances. I want to talk about one spiritual gift that I have been wanting to talk about for a long time, and I don't know that it's ever been talked about or preached on in this church ever, although I'm sure that it's been insinuated or, referred to, but I want to talk about the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits is a spiritual gift found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to tell you, the discerning of spirits is a power gift for victory. And this is what, I'm going to read it to you first. I'm going to read to you first 1 John 4:1-6. Now listen to this. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Is that not a weird thing to say for us? Malachi, don't believe every spirit. Okay. All right, Mom. Is this an episode of The Twilight Zone? What are you talking about? No, this is a scripture. Dear friends, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That must mean that there are many different kinds of spirits that all want to have a place in your ear saying something to you. And we know that false teachers will get up and often preach under a false spirit, under a demonic spirit. And Paul said you could see them by their fruit, if they're in sexual immorality, yet they're trying to preach, they're of a wrong spirit, et cetera, et cetera. Many spirits, test them. So we must need a gift. God gave you a gift of the Spirit called discerning of spirits so that you could test voices. Okay? Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same work of God. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So in other words, he's saying everyone has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit manifests through a gift in different people and different gifts, okay? To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing, or some versions call it discerning, between spirits. It's a gift. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to them each one just as he determines. I would say 10 years ago, out of the blue, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to ask me for the gift of discerning of spirits. And I'm like, what is it even? I mean, I read it, but what is it? Like, what is it? So I started trying to research and find Christian books by reliable Christian authors on this gift called the discerning of spirits. Couldn't find any. So then I searched through books on like prophetic giftings, and I would find like one paragraph, like 2 to 3 sentences on this gift. I really don't think there's not a ton written on it. Maybe there's more out there than I realize. But let me tell you, this is an important gift. It's as important as healing gifts. The Lord is saying yes and amen to us. The Lord's calling. No problem. And I want to show you, Jesus actually operated in the gift of discerning of spirits. In Mark 9, verse 25, it says, when Jesus saw a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit, and he says, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. So he was dealing with someone who could not speak and could not hear. Now, do you think in this world there are people that cannot speak or cannot hear that it has nothing to do with a demon? Absolutely. Things happen that damage our hearing. Things happen that would damage our vocal cords. Sometimes the Lord said that he was going to do the miracle, but it wasn't because anyone sinned. It wasn't because of a demon. It was just because this is for the glory of God. I'm going to heal him. But in this case, Jesus looked at this man and knew he's got a deaf and dumb spirit. He's because he was operating in a gift called the discerning of spirits. He looked at him and could tell there's a demon there that's actually hindering this man from speaking and hearing, and I'm going to command it to leave now. And it did, immediately. It's because Jesus operated in this gift. And we need to, too. Let me tell you another story. This is my last one. A few years ago, maybe like, I don't remember, 4 or 5 years ago, we were going to do our first Gather in the Generals conference. It's a statewide prayer conference. Do you guys remember those? We did several of them, like 3 of them. Well, the very first one, we decided, I had this on my heart for years and years, that we would have a statewide prayer conference to feed into the prayer movement, to encourage people in prayer and intercession, to strengthen the houses of prayer. Anyway, and that spring, we had it in the fall, that spring, very clearly, the Lord said, now is time for Gathering the Generals. Now is the time. Now is the time. I came home from a conference that I was at and I told Jeff, I said, now is the time. We are supposed to do this. And then I went into a time where it was time, it's time to start organizing this, okay? Got a little group together to help me. And I can't explain what happened other than I could physically not move forward on this conference. I felt like I was swimming through peanut butter. Every single thing I did to work for this conference was labored. It was difficult. There was resistance on it. And at the same time, I was dealing with extreme oppression and extreme discouragement on my life for no reason that I could really tell you, other than there must be something wrong with me, because that's my conclusion when I'm going through hard times usually. There must be something wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Usually, it's what's wrong with the devil, right? So I am doing my best And I know, I feel in my heart, Steve Hickey, Pastor Steve Hickey, should be our guest speaker. And so I am so difficult to make emails. I email them through their website, no answer for weeks and weeks. Then I get a hold of them another way, and they said, we never received any email, okay? So I emailed them again. I have never had so many emails lost, misread, miscommunicated, and we were going months and not hearing back whether he's just going to be our speaker or not. I mean, like, I didn't have any plan B. We're in the middle of the summer, and I'm like, I still don't know if he's going to be our speaker or not. But I was so discouraged because I just, like, nothing is happening on this conference. Nothing is happening. Finally, I said to the Lord, I started praying, and I said, I don't know if I'm just, you know, what's wrong with me. I don't know why I can't do this. I don't know why I can't organize this. Honestly, you know me. I'm probably just not fit for this, Lord. You know, these are the prayers I'm throwing up. I'm like, I don't know. But you told me to do this. And I just, the honest prayer, I said, unless you intervene, it's just not going to happen. At this point, Lord, this conference is not going to happen unless you intervene. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I can't move forward. But if you don't come through and strengthen me, this is over. Because I can't do this. I can't organize this conference. It's painful. That night, I would cry out to the Lord, that night, I had this dream. In this dream, I was a part of an army of generals. And they looked like custard, like, you know, Custard's Last Stand, custard, yeah, you know, like they're blue, riding on horses, you know. And I was part of a great army of generals. But there was an enemy army advancing against us. And he was actually overcoming us. And there was a few of us, like, in our headquarters. And it was like we knew the enemy was right here. It was like it was over. He had been overcoming. And now it was time to just make peace with him. And I actually was thinking in the dream, maybe it'll be better if we just sign a treaty with the enemy. You know, maybe this thing will go better if, you know, we fought a good fight. Maybe we just need to sign a peace treaty now. And as I am considering that, and I'm with some other generals, and we're considering whether we should just sign a peace treaty, all of a sudden a window opens up in the spirit, in the dream, and I can see that behind the building there is a witch. She is called the Queen Mother, and she is dressed in black. Actually, feathered dress, black. It's horrible. She has the beak of a bird. Don't make weird doctrines out of this or anything, guys. It's just, this is what the Lord showed me, okay? I'm not making any doctrine about it. I'm just saying this is what he showed me. There was something. She was called the Queen Mother. She had a lot of power, and she had this beak on her, and she was conjuring up a storm. darkness brewing. And she called one of the generals to come near her. And the general came. He reached out his hand, touched that storm, and he exploded. Killed like that. And I woke up. And I said, Lord, what makes me so important that these stupid demons think that they can ruin everything? Why was this really going to be that important? I just thought I was doing a little conference. I actually was not even encouraged. I was like, great. Queen Mother, wonderful. And I went and I told Jeff the dream. I was just so discouraged. I was like, yeah, so let me tell you this dream. Queen Mother with a bird's, oh, and she was also pecking the soil with this long bird's beak, planting demonic seeds in the soil. Anyway, he goes, well, let's pray. I'm like, fine. I was in a bad place. I'm fine. And it was literally like this. Take authority over you, for goodness sakes. Jesus, come. Make the Queen Mother go. You know, Jesus, help us. By that night, Steve Hickey messaged me and said, I want to do the conference. I'm coming. And from that point forward, we didn't have one more lost email. We didn't have one more miscommunication. And actually, Steve and Kristen Hickey became some of our dearest friends. And they are the ones that opened up Europe to us, which we didn't even know that was even part of their life. And he came for 2 years in a row, and he was our keynote speaker for a Gathering Generals conference for 2 years in a row. Let me tell you, in that dream, the Lord said, Autumn, you need to know that this there's a certain spirit, high level, on the state level, I think, spirit, that does not want this conference to happen. And once I reveal it to you, the victory is yours. And this is what I have found. Once God reveals the secret thing to you, it is as good as won. All you have to do is come into agreement with it, whether it's breaking a 7-year drought. You know, some things seem really hard to us, right? And some things seem really easy. Oh, you know, healing a cold, that's a simple one. But breaking a 7-year drought, oh, I could never do that, right? No, no, no. God has got solutions for all problems. And once he gives you his secret thing, the victory's yours. You just come into agreement with that thing and walk in it. Praise God. I want us to do two things. I was hoping I would end early, and I am, because I want to have some ministry, but I want us to do two things. The first thing is we're going to take our hard cases before the Lord right now. We're going to take our problems, our impossibilities, our dreams that are too big for us, and we're going to ask the Lord, what is your secret thing? What do you have for me in this? What is the thing that my eyes can't see, my ears can't hear? And we're just going to listen, and we're going to receive these things. I'm going to give you some tips for hearing God's voice. Because sometimes I feel like some of us, we mystify this way too much. We say, I can't hear God's voice. I can't. I mean, I'll read his word. I love his word, but I can't hear his voice. Let me tell you, when you need to hear from the Lord, I want you to follow these simple steps. Number one, get quiet. Turn off the worship music even. Get still. I mean, sometimes I feel like we're in such a stimulated society, like we're constantly stimulating ourselves, like listening to something, hearing something. We always have to have the radio on, and it's not necessarily terrible. It's just like there's sometimes that you just need to cut it out. Get quiet. The second thing, begin to ask the Lord your questions. And when you ask the Lord a question, then you're going to wait. Because sometimes we ask God questions like we're going through a machine gun prayer list, right? And God help this, and God help this, and then you do this. What do we think about this? And he's like, I would like to talk. I'm waiting for you to breathe. I'm waiting for you to take a pause, Autumn, and then I have something to say. You know, we've all been, right, in conversations with people like that. You're like, breathe, please. I would say something back, but there's never a 10-second window to say something. So we ask God your question and then wait. Embrace awkwardness. Embrace the silence. Go, I'm just waiting, Lord. And then I encourage you, have a journal in front of you or a piece of paper and write down anything that comes to you as you're waiting. A scripture verse, a thought, a picture. Some of you may have a vision, but some of you may just have an image, a memory. The Lord speaks through these things. There might be a memory that comes up. And you write it down, an impression. You say, okay, Lord, I asked you this question, and this is what came to me. Now I'm going to pray over this. Many, many decisions I've had to make have not come through dreams and visions. The answers have not come through, you know, I don't know, things that we just think are, wow, really supernatural, you know, these dramatic ways. They've come through impressions. They've come through thoughts, come through a little image. Like, I'm going to go with that, Lord. I'm asking you, I'm sitting here in stillness, and you're going to answer me. So I'm believing by faith that you are speaking to me. So right now, let's grab your, if you have that piece of paper, I mean, you know, just grab something. If you have a journal, great. If you have notes, great. I want you to be able to jot down anything the Lord gives you so you don't forget it. If you're watching online, I encourage you at this time to do the exact same thing, to grab a piece of paper and wait on the Lord. Grab a pen. Lord, right now, we are just going to bring before you our difficult situations, our problems, because we know you have answers. Lord, we are bringing these before you, God. The things that are too big for us. Thank you, Lord. And I encourage you to ask the Lord a question. Ask him for the secret thing about something. Whatever is in your mind that you're wanting the Lord to speak to you about, ask it. Write, just jot down the question for the Lord, and then we're just going to wait for a second. In the stillness with the Lord, just respond to whatever he shows you. If there's a picture, if there's a memory that comes back to you, a scripture, a thought, an impression, you can jot it down. Just begin to interact with the Lord about that. God, show me more. Show me how to move forward in this, Lord. I hope you guys are receiving things from the Lord, being encouraged. We are going to have some ministry time up here because I'm really praying that this 5-part series on winning spiritual battles is going to help you win spiritual battles. So I want to make time for prayer and extra ministry time where we can agree with you about things that you are trying to go after. And so I was wondering, Shannon, would you be able to minister up here? Yeah. And then would you be able to, Cindy, do you have time to minister up here? Yeah. And Justin. Yeah. So you can just keep the music going. What we're going to do is we're going to take some time here. If you need someone to agree with you in prayer, just come up and grab one of these guys and gals. They're going to pray with you and agree with you for your victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's just stand up right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you want prayer, just come on up. We're just going to worship the Lord to whatever's playing on the CD for a while. Coming today. Thank you for serving the Lord. We got a great family here. I love you all so much. Just pray that you have a great week of victory. Be blessed. Oh, and also